السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمدللہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمدللہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ، ونشهد ان سیدنا ونبینا وشفیعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وإذا سألك عبادی عنی فإنی قریب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers، اللہ تبارک و تعالی out of his fazl and kindness and his mercy for his creation and especially for the ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all his servants. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is told that when my servants, they ask you about me, then tell them that I am very close to them. I am just giving you an explanation. It means the knowledge of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is extremely close. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. Allah Ta'ala knows even the thoughts that are crossing the mind of the person. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the only one who knows even the thoughts which are crossing the mind of the person. There are so many different kinds of thoughts that cross our minds. Sometimes it's a thought of hope, sometimes it's a thought of fear, sometimes it's a thought of jealousy, sometimes of malice, sometimes it's a thought of greed that is crossing our mind. Sometimes a thought of pride and arrogance that is crossing our mind. There are different kinds of thoughts about ourselves and about other people that are crossing our minds. When a person is sitting, then his mind is at work. There is one machine that does not seem to switch off. It's one computer that does not switch off. No matter how much we try to switch it off, but it does not switch off. There will be some kind of thoughts that will be flowing. Now that is a different story altogether, whether those thoughts are valid, permissible, legitimate, or they are illicit, they are haram, they are forbidden. That is a different thing altogether. The person is sitting, he's quiet. From the outside, if you look at him, it seems like there's nothing that is crossing his mind. He's sitting very, very quiet. So he must be sleeping. Sometimes his eyes are also closed, but it's not necessary that he is fast asleep. He may have his eyes closed, but that doesn't mean that he's fast asleep. The mind is at work. Something is going on in that mind. Now that person could be thinking of his past sins and regretting what he has done in his life. And therefore, deep-hearted tawbah and istighfar he is making. He is seeking forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for his sins and for his shortcomings and for his evil doings. But from the outside, when we look at the person, it seems like there is nothing that is happening. No thoughts are crossing his mind. Or that person could be fantasizing. He is fantasizing about his illicit beloved. Or those pictures that he has seen. All the filth that he has watched on the television and on the internet porn sites and all the other filthy things that he may have read in magazines. Now the person is sitting in the masjid. He could be even sitting in the masjid, but his mind is somewhere and there's some thoughts that are crossing his mind. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is aware of all those thoughts that the person's mind entertains. So when the person is aware that my Allah, or when he is conscious that my Allah Ta'ala is aware of these thoughts that are crossing my mind, so then he will be careful. The person will be careful. He will be cautious. We are talking about a Muslim. One day we were sitting in a high up place, and from there we could see all the flats all around the town and the city. The view was of the whole city, the town, a large number of flats. And it was an evening, cool weather outside. So at that time, if you looked at all those flats, it appeared from the outside as if nothing was happening in those flats. From the outside, if you're looking far away from those flats and you're getting a view of those flats with the lights switched on, which can be seen that the lights are switched on, that's about all that you can see from a distance. What else can you see? But you can't see anybody, you can't listen to anything, you can't hear anything. So at that time, it seems, it appears as if nothing is happening in those flats. And everybody is enjoying a life of peace and sukoon and tranquility, and this great amount of serenity and joy in the life of every person that is in those flats or in those buildings, in those homes, because we are watching it from a distance. And it's so beautiful, all the lights are on in all the flats, and gives you that impression. So one of the friends that I was sitting with, I explained to him, I said, from the outside it appears like that. But is that true? I said, go to each and every flat and ask them, that are you enjoying serenity, tranquility, peace, satisfaction, joy? Is everything as calm as it appears from the outside? If you have to go into those flats, if you have to go into those homes, if you have to go into those buildings, somebody will be fighting, somebody will be arguing, somebody will be cursing, somebody will be swearing, somebody will be giving talaq, somebody will be engaging and indulging in abuse of the wife, of the children, or the other way around. All kinds of things are happening. Some people will be very, very sick. They will be crying out in pain and suffering. Somebody would have undergone an operation and he is being sedated. The person is fast asleep. And some other person, he is wide awake and alert and making all kinds of noises and screaming at the top of his voice, can't stick and tolerate the pain. Different kinds of things are happening. Now nobody is aware of that. From the distance, the person does not know what is happening. So he takes it for granted that everything is quiet there. Like that when we are sitting in the masjid, when we are sitting at home, when we are sitting anywhere, or even if we have got our eyes closed, but if we are awake, our mind is working all the time. So this is the important thing, that a Muslim, when his mind is working, what is it doing? Anything constructive, or are we planning those things that are destructive? Now unfortunately, if you have to take the White House or the Black House, whatever you call it, and if you have to take the other places where legislation is passed, or places where they say we control the destinies of man from, now all those institutions, if you have to look at them, what is going on? All the time this kind of planning and plotting and scheming. If Bush is going to the Middle Eastern countries, this plotting, planning, scheming, you think he's going as a friend of those people? We haven't even recognized our friends. Those countries, they should say, there's no need for you to really come down here. If there is anything to discuss, we will contact you. But can they do that? Because we have made them our gods and our lords. So irrespective of what damage is done to the Muslims of Palestine or the Muslims around the globe, and no matter what amount of bombarding and destruction has already taken place, and no matter what amount of lives of innocent people have been already taken, and how many more will be taken, but just for the protection of our country, our throne and our crown and our position, then we will say, you are most welcome. Of course, there is nothing wrong in meeting the person, but you don't meet from a position of inferiority. You don't meet from a position of helplessness and weakness. You don't meet those so-called superpowers from a position of no strength and no gut, nothing else. That is our weakness. We are meeting them, but meeting them from a position of great weakness. Yet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave such wealth to the Muslim countries, such wealth. And a kind of wealth which the other countries are definitely in need of. The gold that comes out from the ground is not necessary that everybody requires it. Gold and silver, diamond, platinum, uranium, they are also a great amount of wealth. But it's not necessary that everybody requires it. It's not necessary that every person must have some gold to survive. Those countries, they also have to some extent some kind of gold and silver and uranium, platinum. Or they will get it from some other countries. But when it comes to oil, we know that the whole world is as if it is surviving on oil. Now that kind of wealth and that kind of dawlat, as you call it, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave to the Muslims. Iman was the greatest of all the ni'mats. Iman was the greatest of all the ni'mats. Therefore I said one time, probably here also, that there was one person from Kabul, a very poor person. His clothes also, patched clothes, very weak, the person in body. But he used to say at the top of his voice, when anybody makes salam to him, he says, I am the richest person in the world. I am the richest person in the world. And when they ask him, how can you be the richest person? Your clothes show that it is tattered and torn. And you are poverty stricken, or you don't even have a proper shelter. That's what your clothes are reflecting. And yet you claim, I'm the richest person, richest person. He says, yes, because I've got Iman. I've got Islam. So I'm the richest person. Now if a person has that kind of Iman, then of course we can understand that what kind of contentment and satisfaction he must be enjoying in his heart, even in the dry bread that he is eating. So Islam does not stop from progress, material progress Islam does not stop from. We are encouraged to make progress in every field. But what I am getting across to you is that when these kings and rulers and these presidents of so-called superpowers are invited to the Muslim countries, then they are invited from a position of weakness, not of superiority, which Allah Ta'ala had given to them. Not that they must be proud and arrogant, but Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave the Kaabatullah Sharif in Makkah Mukarrama, Rauza Aqdas Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Madinah Tayyibah. Now what can be more precious than that? It shows that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's tawajjuh, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat and Allah ta'ala's mercy knows no bounds in those mubarak lands. And then on top of that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave oil. And so much of oil that it seems that it never is going to end. That's what it seems. So when the person has got both things, the spiritual and the material, in abundance given by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, not because it was deserved, but out of his soul kindness, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's ihsan and mercy. And besides Saudi Arabia, the other countries of the Middle East, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them also. And if you take Palestine, then Masjid al-Aqsa. So now, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions, when they went to any new country, or when they spoke to kings and they spoke to rulers, and when they spoke to the, in inverted commas these days we call them presidents and we call them secretaries of state and all kinds of titles we give them. But if they spoke to people who were holding such kind of positions in that government, then they didn't go there with begging bowls in hands. They didn't go there begging that give us some $1 billion and then we will give you full support, logistical support they call it. If you want to bombard some other Muslim country, then we will give you logistical support. What is that logistical support? What does it mean? It means that we will befriend you. We will give you our life, heart and soul. If you have to destroy the entire Muslim population of our country or the country across our borders, it means nothing to us as long as you give us a few $1 billion and waive off our debts. So people say that what is wrong with speaking to these rulers and what is wrong with inviting them into our countries and what is wrong with giving them such kind of status and position and of dignity. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invited the wufud, the delegations came to Madina Sharif, different delegations from the kuffar, mushrikeen, yahood, nasara. Look at all the different delegations that came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invited them, he fed them, he entertained them, he even put them up in the masjid and he discussed with them. But did he discuss from a position of weakness, or did he invite them towards Islam and towards deen? Which country that President Bush or anybody visited recently gave that kind of invitation, that we are inviting your country to look into what Islam is? Beautiful teachings of deen, the Quran, the Sunnah. And who has the guts to say Aslim Taslam, that if you accept Islam then you will be protected? They will say you can't protect yourself. When you are attacked by your neighbors, you shout and you scream and you ask us to come and intervene and form a coalition and assist you. What happened in Kuwait when it was overruled by that same Saddam Hussein? Everything was taken over. Assistance was sought from the same countries, and they came with the coalition forces and destroyed it. Now, this is not a subject that I really enjoy talking about, but what can we do? It deeply hurts and pains when we look at the condition of the ummah around the globe. And we are part of that ummah. That is what we forget, that each and every one is part of that ummah. We can point fingers far, far away, but if we were there, we would have done nothing better. We can see our own lifestyles in our countries. How different are they from those people that we curse every day? How different are they from them? How many percent of the Muslim ummah performs this Fajr Salat? And the male who are adult, how many of them perform it with Jamaat in the masjid? How many percent? Go around in summer months. Don't just look at one or two masajid which may be well populated, and that too will be just a percentage. But take a drive, look at all the homes that are around the masajid. How many lights have come on? Because the lights were only switched off 2 o'clock in the morning after watching the latest films on the television. It was switched off, so now it will come on 7 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning, or after the sun has risen. Then look at our akhlaq, look at our character, look at our dealings. Imams of masjid are being arrested for running rackets, fraudulent deals, scams. Leaders of communities, leaders of Muslim organizations, those people who are supposed to be at the helm of affairs of the society, they are being arrested for corruption, they are being arrested for all kinds of fitnas. Adultery and fornication has become so rife. If a person has to talk about adultery, fornication, or free intermingling, or the filth that is being shown on the TV screens, or all the other haram that is taking place, then they say that he's not in touch with what is happening in society. These things are norms of the society. We must accept it. So if nobody is going to speak about these things, indeed there is what we term as Amar bil Ma'ruf, that invite towards good. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his ahadith, if we have to look at, together with invitation towards good, there was also Nahi anil Munkar. Now we say, no, just go on inviting towards good, they'll automatically give up the evil. If that was the case, then there was no need for Nahi anil Munkar to be mentioned in those ayat, Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar. So now these are the munkarat of the society. It is not something that is pleasant to be spoken of, or it's not something that we just make it like a topic of discussion and they just go on talking about the evils in society and do nothing about it. That is not what I am getting at. Because some people, that is what they do. That this took place, that took place, that took place, and see what's happening there, what's happening there, what's happening there. But there's nothing, no Amar bil Ma'ruf. There is no invitation towards good. It must both go hand in hand. On the one hand there must be targhib, and on the other hand there must be tarheeb. As we are encouraging the people to engage in good actions and good deeds, and we are telling them and informing them and educating them that if you have to do this and do that, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will reward you with abundance in your risk and sustenance. He will give you peace and happiness in your life. He will give you contentment, satisfaction. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will become pleased. He will forgive you your sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give you a life of bliss and happiness in the akhirat, everlasting joy in Jannat. Ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun samiat wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. Those ni'mat which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also didn't cross anybody's mind, On the one hand, we will speak about those things, but at the same time, we will also warn that if you have to engage in adultery, if you have to engage in fornication, if you have to steal, if you have to engage in fraudulent deals, if you have to usurp the properties of orphans and widows, if you have to take that which is not due to you as inheritance according to the Quranic law, just because you were a trustee of that estate and the children were all orphans and yatim, then you are devouring the property of orphans, but at the same time, you are putting fire into your bellies. Read all those ahadith of Miraj, what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said after return. What did he see in the fire in Jahannam? So on the one hand, we will give them targheeb, encourage them to do good, but on the other hand, we will warn also that if you have to engage in these type of things, then forget happiness, forget peace, forget people respecting. Then you must not complain that children are not respecting anymore, children are not respecting anymore. Every day without fail, Allah, do something, give some ta'weez, give some wazifa. My son is misbehaving, he back answers. My daughter wants to run away. She's got somebody she's involved with, he's not even a Muslim, but she wants to go away with him. Now, all these type of things are happening. Sometimes the parents are not at fault, but that is a small percentage. Majority of the times the parents, after knowing exactly what is happening, now how to occupy their mind because it is restless, so they will again switch on the same TV, watch the same soaps and the same operas and the same kind of filth and think that they're going to relax their mind. In the meantime, what is happening? The azab of Allah Ta'ala has already attacked the heart of the person. So we have to then inform the person that on the one hand there is ni'mat, there's blessing, there's happiness in doing the good things, but on the other hand, if we're going to engage in all these type of things, then you must be prepared for the azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to come. Somebody said that Maulana, he says, aaj kal bachche qadar nahi karte hai. They don't appreciate what the parents are doing. Mera ladka bhi hai, bilkul meri qadar nahi karta hai. Does not appreciate anything that I have done for him, his son. So he says, aaj log laylatul qadar ki qadar nahi karte, tumhari qadar kahan karenge? People don't even appreciate laylatul qadar, where they going to make qadar of you? So unfortunately, these governments of the Muslim world, when they are entertaining these so-called rulers of superpowers, then they are entertaining them from a position of weakness, whereas Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given them knowledge, He had given them Islam, He had given them Iman, He had given them these Mubarak lands, and He had given them oil wells, which the whole world is in need of. So then what is the need? The reason for that is there's nothing but greed, there's nothing but jealousy, there's nothing but hatred, there is nothing but disunity and friction in the ummah. And that is an azab of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has mentioned in his ahadith. Unfortunately, the time goes very, very fast, so we come to conclusion. Otherwise, I wanted to discuss some of those issues. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us and give the ummah at large the tawfiq of amal. Amal se banti hai zindagi, ye jannat bhi, jahannam bhi. Ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai, na nari hai. May Allah ta'ala unite the hearts of the ummah around the globe and remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of mankind around the globe. May the winds of hidayat blow around the globe. And may Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships, problems, especially of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And at present in Palestine, the zulm, it is unbelievable. So if we can't do anything more, at least we can make dua for them. So engage in dua, and in whichever way a person can assist or participate in whatever projects are being launched, then you should do that. It is a duty of the ummah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.